call is now being recorded.
Hey, okay. I heard that.
There we go. Perfect. All right. Cool. So I can get to the interview now.
Great.
All right. So I'm going to start out with a question about your Google Talk. So I was watching that, and you were talking about how you guys all got together in college. And I know you all come from different musical backgrounds, and you said how at your first practice it was kind of like, this is strange, you know, that type of thing. How did you guys get comfortable with each other over time, and how did you kind of mesh your styles together?
It was funny. I remember meeting, you know, I met them in college just through putting a flyer up mm-hmm. in the music department. And we had this one jam session, and I was kind of in the process of already forming my own band, but you know, they already had their own thing going, mm-hmm. and called me, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll go check out what's going on. And then we had one, you know, jam session, uh-huh. and I remember thinking like, well, this is like strange, like it's weird they don't have a bass player, and like mm-hmm. Ben at that time was like way more kind of classical in his approach than uh-huh. he is now, and I remember thinking like huh, this is interesting. And but you know, after like just a couple hours playing with them, I was like, okay, this could totally work.
It was that quickly that...
Yeah, it was just like, and it was just so easy, like I just got along, we all got along like immediately, mm-hmm. even though we were pretty different as musicians. And so you know, before the band ever was doing anything seriously, we were just friends.
Gotcha.
You know, just messing around in the practice space. So it was very like open. It wasn't there wasn't like an agenda, which was nice. It feels like some bands sort of like, I think post college it's hard to kind of start a band just for fun. It gets a little mm-hmm. more complicated than that. People have you know, ambitions and things they want to accomplish. And what was nice is we had like this 3-year kind of grace period where we got to make mistakes and yeah. kind of figure out what kind of band we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. but without, you know, any sort of financial pressure or anything, we were just sort of like, you know, making a lot of mistakes and learning from them. And, you know, like having a song where we're like, okay, we want this song to have a Latin breakdown. And then, you know, playing yeah. it a few shows and being like, actually, that's really corny. And thankfully, gotcha. You know, it was in a sort of pre, you know, video internet, you know, where we don't have to live with those decisions for all eternity.
Yeah.
They just disappeared, you know.
Gotcha. So it was nice having that kind of cushion.
Yeah. In hindsight, it feels very pure, you know, that we got to just sort of like mess around and mm-hmm. not have to, I can't imagine like being a band now, like every step of the way would just sort of be documented.
Yeah. So, speaking of documentation, so your live album was super great. I was at your Philly show and I could hear myself on one of the tracks. So definitely.
Oh, great.
It felt like a gift was given to me. But and I feel like live albums and like videos documenting tours are almost like gifts to fans. And I loved your Long Way Home mini documentary, like back in 2015. Were you guys thinking of doing anything similar for Off to the Races?
In terms of a little documentary or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that was a funny thing. That was like when we got signed to Cherry Tree, they wanted to like put together like almost like a promo reel to introduce people to the band. So that was kind of like mm-hmm. outside funded. I don't think we would have thought of doing something like that. We were really stoked how
gotcha.
It came out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as an independent band now, it's like, I think it would be tough to put together like, you know, just to like figure out. You know, it's tough to make decisions to stuff like that's really cool. But, you know, when there's no way to make any return on it, it's hard to be like, yeah, we're going to make a documentary for
yeah.
YouTube, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do love that Long Way Home thing. I hope, you know, hope we get to do something like that again.
Oh yeah. It was super cool. But, for this album, I was wondering, so I kind of noticed, like, back in 2008 with Let Live and Let Ghost, there's, like, 4 songs referencing the apocalypse, right? And there are songs with like darker tones on this album, like Time and I and like People Go Home, kind of like there's like a some darker lyrics in there. But overall, it feels like the past 10 years, your songwriting or the band's songwriting has become like a little bit less, I don't want to say nihilistic, but like there's no songs about the apocalypse anymore. But I was wondering what caused the shift in tone, and what would you say is the biggest difference in songwriting process from 10 years ago to now?
Well, a little background on the first record. I mean, we all, you know, we've been playing as the Sunday Mail before we were Jukebox the Ghost. We had a different name.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went and did semesters studying abroad, and we're apart for 6 months or 9 months or whatever. And when we came back, we all had, you know, Ben and I had a lot of new material. And when he was away, he kind of developed, you know, he came back with like Good Day and Hold It In and Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was away, I got this idea in my head that I wanted to write a concept album about the apocalypse.
Okay. Gotcha.
Like kind of like a playfully, reinterpreting the Book of Revelations. And so, I was studying abroad in Italy, and you know, there's just these amazing sort of apocalyptic medieval paintings everywhere in old churches, and taking a lot of inspiration from that. And I was just, you know, backpacking around Europe with a guitar and a Book of Revelations, and like writing my concept album. So I sort of envisioned it as its own thing. When we got back and I heard Ben's songs, I thought that they could work together. And that we could kind of thread them in a way that, you know, it was sort of half concept record and half not.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's how Let Live came to be. And ever since then, I mean, to be honest, I still write that kind of stuff. It just tends to get, funneled into other things nowadays. So like I write about more stuff than the apocalypse now.
Yeah.
But
I know you have another band.
Yeah, so that kind of I feel like that thread of songwriting still exists, but it's generally more with Narc Twain. But you know, I actually, one of my goals for our next record is to I'm kind of coming back around to how can I kind of reinterpret that voice you know in a way that sort of complements Ben's songwriting and could work for Jukebox. So, I've got the seed of some interesting ideas that I'm playing with right now in a very early stage.
Oh,
but yeah,
great.
I wouldn't say that thread of writing has gone away. It's just sort of, you know, comes in and out of being dominant.
Are you ready to reveal any of those seeds, or just keeping those under wraps right now?
I'm just sort of in the playful stage right now where I haven't really decided what it's for or what it is. But yeah, I've been taking some, inspiration actually from the, like, kind of the Book of Genesis and kind of playing with as an idea. So that's
interesting.
You're
doing like a biblical thing again.
Yeah, I just found that, like, you know, that sort of, that all those archetypal, images and that kind of imagery kind of sits well with me. I enjoy writing from that sort of surreal place.
Gotcha. In an interview, you said that your demos are sounding more and more like finished products because you guys have become kind of like studio engineers on your own time. So I was wondering if that do you make demos on your own? Like, you each individually like make demos and then come to each other with like the product, or do you make demos together?
We do all of the above. So sometimes we do it completely separate, and sometimes we come together. But like, you know, for example, like specifically on the last record, like Diane, the finished recording of that sounds almost exactly the same as the demo. Just a better version of it. Or like Jump Started, you know, like Ben did by himself, like I did with Diane, and it sort of sounds like the demo version is pretty close to how it actually turned out. So
I was wondering, when you make those demos individually on your own and they're almost sounding like the finished product, Does that make collaboration a little bit harder because it's not as much of a collective building from the ground up process?
The trick is, you know, it's good in the sense that it has made us better writers and, you know, coming to the band with stronger material, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, knows what it is from the get-go. But yeah, sometimes you can get trapped we call it people, not just us, but people call it like demo-itis, mm-hmm. like where you sort of get hung up on how the demo sounds and you're sort of not open to new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So the trick is for us is just sort of like making a demo that sort of gets your point across, but trying not to be psychologically married to whatever decisions you made.
Gotcha.
You know, so that there's room for other people to improve it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to move on to asking you questions about your live show. Is that okay?
Great.
I know that you guys started Halloween out as like doing something for a friend's wedding, and it's kind of spiraled into like a much bigger thing. I went to one of your Halloween dates and I dressed up as Ben. It's so much fun.
Oh, nice.
I love those shows. But I'm fortunate enough to live, like, you know, by Philly when you guys are doing, like, the shows. But have you ever considered, like, a mini October Halloween tour?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, from my perspective, I really want to do it. It's funny. It's really is a taxing show on Ben. Vocally,
yeah.
And so we can't do a lot of them in a row, or he starts to like lose his voice.
Okay.
So yeah, we're sort of limited by it a little bit, but I would love to play like a national Halloween tour, even if it meant taking a lot of days off in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was like, not everybody gets to experience it, but it's such a great time. So.
I know. I wish we could tour on it, but maybe someday we'll get to.
Yeah. Holden and Supreme was one of my favorite moments that I've ever, like, seen from you guys on a tour, like, where you were all playing each other's instruments. I was wondering how you came up with that and why that specific song.
Well, we chose Hold It In for that one because it's like, the only song in our catalog that we could do that. Because it's really easy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other song I think would be too difficult, but Hold It In, we were like, you know, it just requires having those, like, the T-Rex fingers chord position on piano, and it's probably the only easy song that Ben's ever written on piano.
Yeah.
So, most of the time he's kind of like adding in a lot of, his classical training and those sorts of flourishes, but that one's really easy. So, it made it so, I could get behind the keys and it wouldn't be, it would just be the second worst thing in the world, not the total worst thing.
Yeah. Have you guys ever finished the song?
You know, I think towards the end of that tour, we did finish it a couple of times.
Oh, wow. Impressive. you described your live shows as kind of like a vaudeville type thing, and you guys have played over 1,000 shows. Now, from Jesse's collection of sound bites, it sounds like you guys say unique things at every show and don't really work off of a script. Is that how you avoid things getting stale on tour?
It's funny. We have sort of I come from the mindset where I'd really like to just have a totally new set list at every show.
Uh-huh.
And Jesse tends to, like, he really likes making a good set list and just sticking with it for a whole tour. So we're constantly kind of in a tug of war. About whether to change the set list up or not. That's sort of like one of our big tour debates. You gotta change up the stage banter. Cause we've definitely been in situations where you know, it's easy to find yourself regurgitating the same stage banter every night and you start to feel like a little bit of a robot.
Gotcha.
It's nice to avoid that.
Now, is Keith in the Car ever going to end up on, like, an actual studio album?
Probably not. I mean, because we have that live version. We have, there's also this
the Buzz Session
kind of studio version.
Yeah.
We felt like that song, I mean, we have a lot of people asking about that song, We're coming from a different vantage point of, we know how much other material we have that didn't make it onto the record. Like,
yeah,
you know, coming into Off to the Races, we had like 75 demos.
Oh wow. Okay.
And Keys in the Car, I don't think it was in anybody's top 10.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm just excited to hopefully, I mean, it'd be great to have the budget someday to just record all these songs so that people can hear, you know, everything we're working on. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, we sort of felt like a third version of Keys in the Car would be too much.
Yeah.
Especially with all the other songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you have all those demos. But since I'm technically interviewing you for Boston University right now, I'm kind of obligated to ask, can we look forward to a Boston date on your next tour?
That's a good question. I am not sure. I think so.
Okay.
We do have a tour coming up this fall. I can't remember off the top of my head if Boston's on it, but you'll be hearing mm-hmm. news of that shortly.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate it. It's a dream come true.
Oh, great to chat. And please say hi mm-hmm. next time you're at a show.
Yeah, sure. And I'll let you know when all the promotions are up, and it'll probably be released on my website first and then on the WTBU website.
Great. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Have a great day.
Okay. You too.
Bye.